Thought Press Network.
C-R-I-T.
Welcome everybody to Crit or Die! Crit or Die, motherfucker! Blah, blah. Bears love gaming. As always, this is Kenny, the polar bear extraordinaire. We also got Pedro on the mic as usual.
That's right, you got the space bear right here.
Spy.
One in land, one in the sky.
That's pretty much how we're going to go with this. We got land bear, we got one in space.
We got all your angles covered. One looking
now,
up, one looking
now
down.
Now we just need one in the sea. I don't know who's going to be
sea bear, no.
We need a sea bear.
Sea bear is terrifying. I don't want to think about a sea bear. I just had a cat land right on my taint. Might have had half my soul leap out of my body.
And with that, guys, this is another episode of Crit or Die. Thank you guys for listening. I know you guys missed us. I know you guys want to hear more of what we've been up to. And Pedro, how's your week been so far before we started recording?
Oh, it's going pretty good. I've started replaying Super Metroid by accident, as it tends to happen.
By accident?
Yeah, I had a trip recently, and then I was playing it while I was on the plane. And with the way that Super Metroid goes, you start playing Super Metroid, and then you keep playing Super Metroid, and now I'm halfway through Super Metroid.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And me, I'm just engrossed in Game of Thrones. In fact, I just finished typing up my review for this past episode that came out, which will be out soon this week. It'll probably come out before this episode, but
you mean the one where a boss ass bitch tells a guy how it is?
That's
all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
Like, all I'm saying is that somebody gets some sweet revenge. It's very nice.
Let's think about this. There's a lot of boss bitches in this episode.
Yeah.
In that episode. So anyway, but we're just going in now. Today we're going to be talking about actually a couple of games that Pedro and I have been playing specifically. These were set to be mainly for two-player games, so this is right up our alley.
We have one that's a two-player game and one that's maximum three-player. So this is definitely more if you're going with a partner or you and a friend aboard that you can crack
these games out. Yeah, and one of them is a short-form game actually both of them have the potential to be long-form games, but one of them can be short depending on how bad you play the game. It all depends on who you play with, and it's always different. Both of these aspects of these games that we're going to be talking about do lend itself for the randomness, so the replay value is actually high on both of them. Really, first we want to talk about where we went as far as to play these games.
Yeah, we actually found, thanks to old guest Will here, thank you, Will, told us about a place that just recently opened up here in Miami called Mac and Chess.
Mac and Chess, yes. In fact, it is, a play on words. It's mac and cheese. It's actually, it is considered a restaurant online when you look at it. However, when you go in, you realize not only do they serve gourmet food and craft beer, but they also have shelves. I repeat that. Long-ass shelves of gaming.
There are technically they have two super long shelves and then like a bookcase full of more traditional games. Now, on their top shelf, they have a bunch of games that they do sell, but they're not there to sell games. They're there for you to pay a flat fee. You pay $5 and you can stay there as long as you want and you can play. They had to have like 40 games on there. Like they had like a fuck ton of things.
Actually, 40 games would seem little compared to what I saw
on
there.
Yeah, they had a lot of stuff.
And the way it's set up is it's set up big enough where you can actually have people come in to just eat, because they do gourmet mac and cheese, and they add delicious meats on there if you want.
Yeah, they got burgers, pulled pork. Yeah. Like I think they actually have a pretty decent selection and some pretty damn good beer.
And the beer, it's local beer here in South Florida, which is always awesome too. With that, they also have enough space for tables for gameplay. It is made. It's a chill spot. It felt like usually when you go into game stores, a lot of game stores.
Most
game stores. You are automatically sized up from head to toe, because one, they don't know you, and two, they don't know how well you know or how big of a geek you are as far as gaming goes. So, but this one was more of a relaxed place. There was different. It's the atmosphere is different. Like everybody there is there to enjoy themselves.
They're there to have fun. And it also helps that the owners, Mike and Mike. By the way, thanks, guys, for helping us out with the games. They will they're pretty knowledgeable with the games they got there. They helped us out with both of the games that you'll be hearing about today.
Yeah, in fact, they were surprised because the first game that we played, I actually picked out because I've been wanting to play the game. It's specifically made only for two players, and it's called Onitama, and it is by far it is magnificent in its simplicity. Mm-hmm. Is what I like about this game.
Yeah, I mean, you basically it's to like really break it down and make it like super simplified. It's basically two-player chess.
It is two-player chess, but it is simplified and placed with a random element. And when I chose that game from the shelf, they were surprised that I would actually choose it because they said normally people don't. One, they don't know about that game, and two, they see it and they don't think anything of it. When really, when you look at it, it seems like one of those, you know, niche games that you probably would never play. But when you do actually sit down and play, it is one of those where it takes minutes to learn, literal minutes to learn, mm-hmm. and it takes a long time to master.
Oh, yeah. So basically the way that the game works is that you have, I believe it was four, it's five spaces on it. It's a 5x5 board that you have.
Right, it's 5x5, so 25 spaces.
Yeah, and the center on both ends are gates. And the premise is that you line four pawns on either side of the gate, and you put a king in front of the gate.
Right, or they call it emperor or master pawn.
Right, and you either have to get your emperor through the other gate, or you have to take the other emperor.
Or capture the opponent's emperor.
Yeah.
And the way that you move is used by, this is where the random part comes in, there is a deck of cards, and on the deck of cards allows different positions and different stances. They have, you know, and they go by lotus, rabbit, boar. Like, it has different names to it. Frog, leopard, things like that. And on there, every movement, depending on the card you choose, is different. Some of them allow you to jump spaces. Some of them only allow you to go diagonal. Some of them, it all depends on the cards. Now, the way it's dealt is that each person has two of those cards in front of them, and then there's one in the middle floating, essentially. Mm-hmm. And after you choose who goes first, as far as the first player, they choose a card that they have, and in the card that they have, they choose a piece that they have there to move in that corresponding spot. After they do that, then they have to, that card that they use, switch with the one that is floating. And then the next person goes, and it goes on from there. And it is made so that you are always constantly circulating cards, and you're always having something new, essentially. You're never playing the same card twice, which is always a good thing, because not only that, you also have to realize that whatever card you play, you're ending up giving it to your opponent to use later on you in future turns.
Yeah, so basically what the strategy ends up being is that obviously you have the two options that you have in front of you, right? But then you also have to keep in mind that you're getting another card for your next turn, and then whatever you give, your opponent's going to be able to use against you. So it has this really interesting balance of controlling your movement and controlling your space, but thinking far enough ahead to try to keep your opponent from taking your pieces, taking your emperor, or being able to cross the barrier. And right. The thing is, by doing that, by making the board a lot smaller and limiting that movement, you make it really easy for people to be able to understand, and not as complicated as chess. Because obviously chess, you know, it's been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's a super complicated game with tons of strategies. Here, your strategies are more limited because of your movement, but by limiting that, like, you are you're forced to use parts of your brain that you're not normally used to using.
Yeah, it just like chess, you have to think moves ahead. Not only the move that you're playing, but also because of the move you're playing, what is going to end up happening in the future with your opponent and what you're going to do next. And it's cool. It still gives you that layer of I need to think two moves ahead, when really you also have to anticipate what the opponent is going to play. Because the opponent has two choices to make, and you have to guess whether or not either of those choices, you know, which one of those choices they're actually going to do.
And I think the thing that makes you genius is that the everybody's cards are exposed. So you know what your opponent can play. So now you're playing more of this like game of cat and mouse. Like, okay, well, if I move this up, I can see that this is going to limit, that's going to force them to move in this direction, and then I can kind of try to box them in there, but then I got to be careful because then they could pop over two or three spaces, or like in my case, I had, when we played our last game, I had one card that let me move laterally three spaces over, and
yeah,
that's
the crab, which the crab. Is a fucking crazy one.
You can either very slowly walk forward or jump left or right, but by doing that, like, I always kept that because that gave me an out. In case my emperor ever got pinned, I could move way out of the way and out of the way of most of the other cards that we had.
And the beauty about the game is that you'll never play the same game twice, in the sense that the cards that are shuffled in, there are more than 25 spaces or more than 20 spaces, 20 moves that you can make. So that ultimately changes, because statistically you'll never get the same five cards.
Really hard to get those five cards.
It'd be really hard to get the same five cards in another game of itself. So it always keeps you on your toes. Like some games, sometimes more defensive play, depending on what cards are out there, are better than being offensive. Like there was a game that I was better. I won the game only because I was just reacting, and the cards were able to let me do that.
Yeah, you had a lot of good reactive cards to be able to deal with anything that I did.
Right, and then when Pedro won, he actually had more aggressive, which is the total opposite. He had how we usually our stances in playing. His cards, the card movement, actually allowed him to do more aggressive movements, which, you know, limited me having roughly the same moves try to counter what he was doing.
Yeah. So the interesting thing, you know, like we keep mentioning, is that your every game is going to be different no matter what, because of what's being kind of tossed your way. And you can't go into the game with like a standard procedure. It's not like with chess where you can kind of play it in your head, because you can say like, okay, well, I move this up, they react. I move this up, they react. No, now it's like, okay, well, I have these two in front of me now, and I have this off to the side that I'm going to get, and they have these two to start off with. So, what's the strong opening move to kind of move in? So, yeah, it's short too. The game's like the longest we played was like 15 minutes because that was an extended game where we were like really going.
Yeah, and that was one of those things where, and that's the other thing I like about it, is that it is designed so that there's no way, unless you're literally eating shit, that, you know, and not moving,
you're not going to stalemate.
That you're not going to, if one, you're not going to stalemate, and two, it is very hard for you to keep that game going long, only because you have to move. You constantly have to pick spots. It's not like you can backtrack in chess, or you can counter move in any way you would like. This one is like you only have a limited amount of space. So you either do what you have, you either counter if you can, you either capture if you can, or you try to win to the best of your
ability. Sometimes if you're a box, just fucking go for the gate and hope that you can make it across.
You know, so with this game, I actually give this game, from first playing it, replay value, I give it a 9 simply because of the replay value on it.
Yeah. I have to agree with that, because it's again, simple to learn, and you can keep playing it over and over and over again. And because games go by real fast, you could have like four people and just run right through it. Like, you're done in 5 to 10 minutes, 15 minutes at the most, and you get your next person in there.
Yeah, and it's one of those that it's a great tournament-type game.
Yes.
It's where you could play series of games against people because, again, the game is different. You know what I mean? Like, it's always going to change. So I have – that's one of those games where if you're really into wanting to branch out into board games, especially – small two-player games, that would be the number one choice I would tell you to get.
Great, good couples game. I would say
great couples game.
Yeah.
And what was the other game that we had that we had playing? This one is a long form. This one was meant to be for you to play for at least. I think when we played it, we only played it one time.
We played one time, and it took us 45. Well, what happened was is that we had a false start with it, and then once we got started again, which we'll explain in a minute. I would say this one's anywhere between 30 to 45 minutes.
Now, see, the cool thing about Mac and Chess was that the guys are knowledgeable, so they actually one of Mike 1 or Mike 2. I don't know what you know, Mike 1, Mike 1. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, Mike check. Anyway, so one of the mics came up to us. He actually sat down and he started going through the game Splendor with us. And Splendor is a game that could be played with 2 to 3 people, no more, no less. The game is made as, it's another strategy game that actually has two forms to it, if you really think about it. It's the beginning stages and then the very end where it ramps up.
Yeah. So this one, I think probably the closest way to describe it would be a resource management game, which is, getting really reductive. But the whole thing is that you're collecting these pieces of different gems, right? And you're trying to, the point of the game is to get, you're supposed to get like 15...
15 prestige. Like in the game, the whole point is just it's called Splendor. You're supposed to collect jewels. You're supposed to build up your prestige, your notoriety in the game. And depending on certain cards that you get, it gives you that number. Like the number you have to reach, the score is 15. Everybody starts with zero.
Yeah. So the way that each turn works is that you could do one of four actions. You can either pull the chips, which are sort of like the short-term resource that you can use to get points.
It's like mining for minerals, pretty much.
Yeah. You could the cards that are spread out, because you have three sets of cards that are displayed,
yeah,
for points. You can actually do denial by quote-unquote reserving the cards. You can reserve a card, so you keep it. And later on, you can play it once you have the resource, once you have either the chips or the cards to be able to access it. Or you can buy cards. And when you buy the cards, you either get... Actually, no, for both times, you either get just a gem or a gem and prestige.
And a point of prestige, or depending on the number.
Yeah.
And the way that the game is, and I know that we were jumbling through it, the stage is set up where you have jewels in front of you, you have gems in front of you, and they're different colors. So blue, red, black, white, and you also have the wild card. And then you have three tiers of decks that display cards very similar. Like, pretty much it's put into a row of four on each tier. And starting from the first tier is smaller minerals, and then the second tier has some bigger minerals with prestige points, and then the third tier is even higher. And then on the very top of that has what they have. They have three different has three different character cards, and depending on how many coins or how many minerals you do collect.
Yeah, how many cards? How many minerals through cards? So
through cards you collect.
So the way that the game, like, it starts off pretty slow, because you're trying to use the chips. You can only have 10 chips of any type at a time,
and you can only collect up to three at a time.
Yeah, so you pick up three at a turn, and you have up to 10. So at first, what you're trying to do is you're trying to build up the amount of cards that you have, card resources, because you don't have to get rid of your card. When you have a card resource, you keep that.
Yeah, when you use gems, which are represented by coins, to buy cards, you're literally using them, you're spending them. When you collect these cards, you treat these cards as like mine resources, where like it's like a resource, like mana in Magic, where you keep it always. It's always in front of you,
yeah,
so you can always use it. So the whole point is to build up enough to get cards so that you no longer have to collect gems. You just use the cards you currently have.
Yeah.
Now, the whole point of reserving cards is that you want to make sure that, one, instead of taking a turn where you buy something, you can always take a card from the deck, from the rows that are displayed, so that, one, either you can keep it for yourself so you can buy it later when you have the resource, or you can deny somebody else from buying that resource in order to stop them from winning the game or advancing in the game.
Yeah, so typically your first 5 to 10 minutes of the game goes by fairly quickly, because you're getting your chips, you're counting out what you have, and you're getting these low level cards. But once you transition to the middle part of the game, at that point you start to see which noble your opponent is going for. And that ends up becoming important, because the nobles are worth a good amount of... They're worth at least a fifth. They're worth like three or four prestige.
Yeah.
And that's
and
pretty
those
high.
Are the character cards on the top. And those three... And like, unlike the other cards, because every time you collect a card from either tier, a row of tiers, that those cards get, you know, replaced with another card from the deck. The nobles on the top don't. So those are like one-time grab type of things. So
yeah.
Your whole point is to try to aim to get those, because those make it easier for you to win the game. And at first, what I've noticed after our full start, because originally when they taught us the game, we didn't ask enough questions, which we should have.
Yeah, that was our mistake.
And because instead of saying you had a limit of how many coins you could collect, how many chips, because Pedro at one point was just stacking them all for himself.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, I get this noble, so I guess I win? It's like, no, that's not how it works.
Yeah, so we had to get some clarification on the game, and we started up again. And I'll tell you right now, the whole point of the beginning of the game is, I think, is the biggest strategy towards anything else, is because you're trying to build up your resources while trying to diminish the resource on your opponent's side.
Well, I would hazard that the denial comes more in the middle part of the game, because in the beginning you're just trying to scramble and whatever that opening draw of cards are out, you're just going for what you have there. It's once you start getting three or four cards, then your denial starts coming in, because now ostensibly both of you have enough resources to start getting some good amount of points.
See, and that's the thing. It's like the beginning is slower, and I've noticed that if you this kind of game, again, it has that randomness, because as far as the three decks that are used are shuffled so that cards that come out are randomly coming out. So you don't always see the same cards every time.
Yeah.
Same thing for the nobles. You don't always get the same three nobles in the beginning of the game. You have to, it's one of those things where you have to watch what's out there, what you think you can go for that would prevent your opponent from guessing what you're doing, and vice versa, because whoever goes first, it kind of sucks. Whoever goes first, because whoever's going first, you're already seeing what they're trying to go for. You know, like, it's one of those games where it's a good wait and see type of thing.
Yeah,
because it's better to react to what somebody else did in Splendor as opposed to you going first, unless you get lucky as far as what's out on the table first. You know, type of thing.
And that's why I feel like that. The denial comes more in the middle, because at first you're just scrambling for whatever resources that you can get. And then after that thing, once you start telegraphing a little bit more, that's when you want to start cock blocking people. But the one thing that is interesting is the denial mechanic also gives you, on top of like removing cards that your opponent can get and giving you the ability to just buy the card straight up later, you get the wild card is one of any of the other color gems.
Yeah.
And that ends up actually factoring in pretty strongly, because if you do that early on, you're able to fill in the blanks for gems that you do not be able to, you're not able to access. So I think that not just the denial, but the fact that it gives you that random extra element ends up making it so that denial still doesn't put you back at all. Because you can still prevent somebody from doing something, but you still get at least one resource so that your next turn you'll be able to do something instead of falling behind so far.
Yeah, and this game is all about, this game relies heavily on what's out in play, what is the best move, what you feel would be easier for you to achieve in the game as opposed to what resources you can buy. Because Pedro was aiming towards a certain, like for instance, Pedro was trying to go for green and red gems, mm-hmm, to get a certain noble, while I was trying to go for blue and white type of thing. Like it, and it was one of those things where if we tried to go for the same, it would have been more of a struggle if Pedro and myself would have tried to go for the same colors to try to get the same noble.
If I had been paying attention and saw that he was going for white, I would have done more denial for white, but unfortunately I was so wrapped up in trying to get my own gems that I didn't take into consideration what Kenny was trying to pick up. So,
and you know, and I just let him in his little false sense of security going, yes, I will wait.
To be quite honest,
it was neck and neck. Pedro needed just one more resource in order to win the game.
I needed one more turn, basically.
That's pretty much what it was. He just needed one more turn, and unfortunately, I just had a card that I took in the beginning of the game as a denial by accident, and I was like, "Oh wait,
That was the first one that you had held."
Yes.
That
was the first
shit!
One.
Wow. Okay, that worked out. That worked out great for you.
Exactly. Yeah. So all in all, in this game, it took a little bit of time to get used to the rules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a couple things you have to remember that it's just not like cut. You know, it is at the end of the day, it is cut and dry, but it's hard to remember those rules. You kind of have to like go through it over and over. But once you remember what the stages of the game, it can pick up. I think that with two people, it's good. I want to see how it is with three
people. I'm curious
about
three people.
Three people,
yeah.
It's one of those things where you can pit two people against each other while one person sits back,
yeah,
or it can be an all-out war. Or two people go and trounce on one type of thing. You know, I like that. I like, you know, to see that kind of things play out. But all in all, in this game, Splendor, I'll give it a 7.
I was thinking,
I'll give it a 7. And
Because it's not 100% intuitive, but once it gets going, it is pretty interesting. And it's one of those things where it has a decently sized footprint. It's not something that you can play small. That was the one thing I also liked about Onitama, was that it's, you don't need a lot of space to play it. This one, you need a little bit more to go along with it. But
right, and if I had to choose between one of the two games, I honestly would stick with Onitama.
Oh, for
Onitama,
sure.
Hands down, and out of those two. But to be honest, there are a lot of games now. Like, in fact, going to this spot made me want to venture into these, because some of these games we saw there were insane. There's one that was told by us that is actually at this, that's actually at this store,
yes.
This restaurant. I can't remember the name of it. It's an 8-player game. This is a huge game, and it is a real time battleship scenario where you are each team of four is mans an actual battleship.
You climb in a battleship.
You climb in a battleship. You
go
have
in
a,
the water.
You have a general. You have a general or an admiral. You have a runner, which is the person who what do you call it? The person who pilots it. You also have the tactician, you know, who gives you
who keeps track of
what's
board,
going
probably.
Out and where we're going. And then you also have the guy, the actual gunner, the person who shoots the torpedo. And then all four of you have to work together because each person has a certain part they have to play. And then at the end of it, you have to choose coordinates of where you're going to aim.
It's basically battle, like we said, like battleship, but every part of that actually executing somebody does. So it ends up being this like really interesting teamwork thing. And I really want to play it. I'd like to see it first. I want to see if I can Google it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I want to see somebody that actually knows how to play. I want to see a 4-on-4 game.
Yeah.
Because I want to see where are the aspects that change, like, because you're taking something simple as saying B12. Did I hit you in B12? No? Okay, what about you? C1? No, I'm not there. You're taking that, making it where you have to add more layers to it, and I want to see what layers, if this uses dice, if there's a certain roll, you know, I want to see how that game plays out. You may see us, you know, talking about this game in the future. Who knows? There's a bunch of other games that we want to play. In fact, what we want to ask you guys out there, and I know I keep asking this, and some people have told me some stuff. I mean, you know, but like it's some games that we've already talked about. But if there's like a unique, crazy-ass game.
Yeah, recommend it to us, man.
Recommend it to us. I wouldn't mind trying it. If there's a new game out, even if it's on Kickstarter, I wouldn't mind putting money into a Kickstarter if that means to try out a game.
Well, I mean, we've been waiting a while to be able to try out those games. But yeah, recommend anything that you have in mind. Actually, thanks to the wide selection at Mac and Chess, I mean, we're definitely going to go back there. So
yeah, in fact, you know, I know that we're talking them up, and it's really because we went there. We were surprised.
It's a cool spot. You know,
it is
we
a
don't
cool
see
spot.
Spots like that. And especially, man, I've been to some places in Atlanta that were like this, but down in Miami, you don't find cool places like this.
It's rare to find a place. It's rare to find a place like this that levels out as far as being comfortable, the comfortability, the fact that it's a gastropub helps too. Also, the atmosphere, the people there. It's actually a good atmosphere to be in.
Very friendly.
You know, if you guys ever want to check it out, again, it's Mac and Chess. They're located on Southwest 8th Street here in Miami. I would tell you guys to check them out. For sure, we're going to be checking out their selection because you can always go online to their selection of games so you can see what they have available if you want to go in there and actually reserve a game so when you get in, you can play. Mm-hmm. And that's probably what we're going to do too. So besides that, where can they find you, Pedro?
You can find me at Twitter at Pedro Cortez Get. That's Cortez with an S. And on Instagram at Gurren Lagann, like the anime.
And you can find me on Instagram at Cuban Polar Bear, with the underscore in between each word, as well as Twitter at KSkeetz. That's KSKEETZ. And thanks again, guys, you know, for another episode here of
another
Critter Dive.
Lovely time that we had with these ones. Yeah. We focused on two-player, a partner.
Oh, two-player, you know.
He was my partner.
Anything more with two-player that costs extra?
Oh, yes. No, you can get in my lap, and I'll handle you with both my hands, and you can be the
look
two-player.
At that. Crab, you know, we do the crab maneuver.
I am a crab in that game, and I'm a crab in real life.
Oh, splendor. So indeed, that is
so splendid.
So again, guys, thank you again for tuning into Critter Die.
Yes.
Tune in next time when we talk about more games.
Get some more board game action and some more mac and cheese.
Mmm, delicious. Oh, cheese. Bacon. Until next time, guys.
Bye.
Bye.